Well, we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. We want to bring you the message today from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Matthew chapter number 11, verses 25 down through verse number 30. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Our heart this morning is to share with you the heart of Christ. We want you to consider how in this passage, as Charles Spurgeon has made note, that out of 80-some-odd chapters in the Gospel accounts, there is one occasion where Jesus basically takes the time to open up his chest, so to speak, and let us, the reader, into his heart to see what his heart is, to see who he is. And so it is found here in this passage, and we do want to take time this morning to share with you the heart of Christ. And we pray that it will certainly be a blessing to you and minister to your heart today as well. So we've been simply entitled the message, The Heart of Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 down through verse number 30. So let's read the passage together, and after that we will pray. The Word of God says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus then says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we pray today that you'd help us as we endeavor to preach your word. We pray today, God, that you'd help us to see the heart of Christ, to see who he is as is revealed to us in the pages of sacred scripture. We ask, Father, today for your Spirit to indeed do a work that we cannot do in our own power. We rely completely on you to work in the hearts of each and every one of us. And we ask you today, Lord, to touch our hearts. Speak to us the words of truth that we may say we've heard from heaven today. We pray, Lord, all this for the honor and glory of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Jerry Bridges has noted, he said, preach the gospel to yourself every day. It's because that we are so prone to, in our nature, to look to ourselves and our performance more than we look to Christ and his performance. We need constant reminding of the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. The Bible also tells us in Luke 19:10 that Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He tells men that because he is the bread of life, those who come to him will never hunger, and those who believe in him will never thirst. Because he is the resurrection and the life, those who believe in him will live even if they die. You see, the theme of Scripture is the message of salvation. All throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end, it is the message of redemption. Even in Isaiah 45:22, the Bible said, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Even the last words of the Bible, not necessarily the very last, but some of the last wordings of the Bible, Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. You see, we want to focus today indeed on the gospel. And I want to set the context for you before we begin to look and study the heart of Christ. The context, if you'll note verse 25, it says, at that time, at that time. Well, this tells us that perhaps Jesus had offered this great invitation after a very sobering truth that he had preached concerning Bethsaida, Chorazin, and also Capernaum. Though the nation of Israel indeed had turned his back on the Messiah, Jesus continued to call out to those who would repent, those who are weary and carrying heavy burdens and were laden down with burdens that needed rest. He would call out and offer the invitation. As Jesus prays here to His Father, I want you to understand that this prayer was meant to be heard. And as Jesus bows His head here and He prays, He says, I praise You in verse 25, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. And I want you to understand what this passage means, just so or this is the section here means, so we can understand its context. You see, Jesus is praying and He's wanting the audience to hear. And He thanks the Father. He says, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, of heaven and earth, that You've hidden the things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. You see, what we note here is Jesus is pointing out two things. He calls God His Father, which is pointing out indeed that He is truly the Son of the living God of glory. But also He acknowledges that the Father is the Lord of heaven and of earth. So He's also not just His Father, but He is also the ruler of heaven and of earth. And He says, I'm praising You that You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. Folks, I want you to know in regards to salvation, salvation is the provision of the Lord of heaven and earth. It is not the result of man's wisdom or man's plans or man's power or even the purposes of man. Jesus is praising His Father for being Lord of heaven and earth and also being the one who has given and revealed salvation. You see, Jesus Himself even wept over those who did not respond in faith and repentance. However, His rest and trust was completely in His Heavenly Father because He knew that all things were under His divine control, that His sovereign plan for the world would never be frustrated. We know that as well in Psalm 115 verse 3. Our God is in the heavens and He does whatever He pleases. We also know Job 42 verses 1 to 2. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that You can do all things and that no purpose of Yours can be thwarted. You see, God's sovereignty should bring joy to the hearts of believers. And our responsibility when it comes to witnessing and bearing the message of the gospel is simply to be good stewards. It is God's act and God's doing alone that makes it effective. You see, Jesus' specific cause for praising God and being the Lord of heaven and earth is that He has hid things from the wise and intelligent, revealing them instead to infants. So I want you to just think about the imagery here, what Jesus is painting a picture of. The kingdom belongs only to those who come to the place in their life where they realize that they are spiritually bankrupt, that realize they are spiritually broke, in debt, have absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing. Those are the ones in whom have the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You see, the wise and intelligent here refers to those who are intelligent in their own eyes, those who rely on human wisdom and disregard the things of God. Those who are wise and intelligent refer to those who are spiritually proud, and the infants refer to those who are very humble and broken and contrite in spirit. An infant is totally dependent, is it not, on others to provide everything it needs. It has no abilities, no knowledge, no skill, no resources at all to help itself. It is in complete reliant upon another. The same is true for who belong to the kingdom of God, that God chooses to reveal Himself, Christ to. And that is those who come before Him broken in spirit, humble before Him, knowing that they have nothing to bring before the Almighty God, and to come and present themselves as having nothing but needing Him and Him alone. It is those in whom the Lord chooses to reveal the Son to. It is those to whom God grants access into the kingdom. Those who come broken and humble in heart and give themselves to the Lord. There's a contrast here between these two. And the contrast between the two is not those who are knowledgeable and ignorant, or educated and uneducated. The compare and contrast is here is between those who think that they can save themselves by their own efforts, comparing to those who know that they cannot. That's the compare and contrast that is going on here. It is a comparison between those who don't rely on God and those who do. In regards to verses 25 to 27, the reality here that Jesus is praising God for is that God grants salvation to those whom are like infants, to those who express that they have nothing that they can bring, nothing that they can contribute, nothing that they have achieved, nothing that they have to bring except coming broken and beaten and contrite and broken in spirit and humble at heart. Those are the ones that God reveals the Son to. You see, verse 27, it says here, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." Salvation is disclosed only through the sovereign grace of God to those who are indeed humble at heart, whom the law has brought forth the reality of their sin, whom the law has revealed that they have nothing, and they come to the one who has it all, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the context that we are setting. Jesus is speaking of salvation. He is speaking to people around. He's praying, and this prayer is meant to be heard. And now we come to verse 28 through 30. And I want to share with you the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Charles Spurgeon once pointed out that in all four gospel accounts, there's 89 chapters. And in those, out of those 89 chapters, there's only one place that where Jesus tells us about His own heart. And I want you to see it here for yourself. Go down to verse number 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble," where? In heart. I am gentle and humble, or lowly, in heart. This is the one place where Jesus, you could say, peels back the layers and lets us look down or look into the core of who He is. Gentle and humble, or gentle and lowly. And now we need to understand how to interpret what the Bible means when it talks about our heart. You see, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." You see, the heart is not just a part of who we are. The heart is who we are. The heart drives all that we do. It is who we are. And Jesus says two things about His heart. He says He is gentle and He is humble. He is gentle and He is humble. I want you to consider, first of all, with me, Jesus being gentle. The Greek word for gentle only occurs three times in the New Testament. Matthew 5:5, Matthew 21:5, 1 Peter 3:4. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 21:5, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey." 1 Peter 3:4, "But let it be hidden, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." He says, we consider this word, it's also in the neighborhood of being meek and humble. So to be gentle is to be meek, and it's also to be humble. In other words, what's Jesus saying here about His heart? What does Jesus want you to know today about His heart? And He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You see, what this means is when Jesus says He is gentle, it means that Jesus is not trigger happy. It means that He is not a harsh individual. It means that, folks, that He is not easily ticked off, so to speak. He's not easily made mad. He's not easily frustrated. He's not easily quick to anger. He's not one who you will never know how they might react, so to speak. He is indeed gentle. I want you to understand what this means. Get this now. To say that Jesus is gentle and understand the rendering of gentle means that Jesus is the most understanding person in the entire universe. Jesus is the most understanding person in the entire universe. I love the way Dane Ortlund says this in his book concerning the Lord Jesus. He says, Jesus is the one that is seen by His open arms, not through a pointed finger. There is a lot of truth in that. Jesus wants you to know today that He is not one who is harsh. He is not one who you may never know how He's going to react to you. He's not one who's going to get easily offended or easily mad. He is gentle. And dear friend, you may be one who is suffering today. You may be one who is lost today. And you got certain presuppositions in your mind concerning who Jesus Christ is. And I want you to know that He is a gentle Savior. He's not going to be harsh with you. He's not going to be frustrated and mad with you or quick to get angry with you. He is the most understanding person in the entire universe. He wants you to know that. He's not going to be the one pointing the finger at you. He's going to be the one standing with open arms. Then the Bible tells us not only is He gentle, but it says He's lowly, or the word lowly also is the word for being humble. You see, these two words, gentle and lowly, or gentle and humble, basically just kind of overlap each other. And they do that in the attempt to share with us one very important truth. And that point is saying Jesus is lowly. And you say, well, what does it mean by saying that Jesus is lowly? What does it mean by saying that Jesus is lowly or humble? What does that word mean? Well, it means this, that Jesus is easily accessible. That's what it means. Jesus' heart, He wants the person of who He is. He is gentle, which means He's not harsh. He's not going to blow a gasket. He's not one that's going to erupt at any minute and you don't really know how to act around Him. That is not who Christ is. He is gentle. And not only is He gentle, but He is the most accessible person in the universe. There is no one that has ever lived who has been more approachable than Jesus Christ. There are no prerequisites, no hoops to jump through. There is no catch. The ones who qualify to be embraced by a gentle and lowly Jesus is those who, verse 28 says, are who weary and heavy laden. Is that you today? Do you find yourself weary? Do you find yourself heavy laden? You see, dear friend, you don't need to unburden yourself before you come to Jesus. You don't need to collect yourself before you come to Jesus. You don't need to get yourself together before you come to Jesus. Your very burden, your very wearied soul, your troubled heart is what qualifies you to come to Christ. Would you come to Him today? For He is approachable. He is gentle. He is humble. There is no payment required. There is no waiting room for you to have to sit. Jesus says, come and I will give you rest. Whether you are working yourself to death under the heading of those who are laboring in order to deal with whatever burden it may be, or whether you are weighed down by something outside of your control, which means you're heavy laden. Jesus' desire is that you find rest. that you come out of the storm. This is who Jesus is. There's some of us today who needed to hear this for the first time, or there's some of us who needed to be reminded about this. You see, whether you are already a child of God or you're not, this is who Jesus is. He is tender. He is open. He is welcoming. He is accommodating. He is understanding. And He is willing. You see, as you read many things, there's a book that's blessed my heart here lately, Dane Ortlund. He's written a book entitled Gentle and Lowly, exactly about this passage. And he said here, I love what it said, and I wanted to quote him. He said, if we are asked to say only one thing about who Jesus is, we would be honoring Jesus' own teaching if our answer is gentle and lowly. If someone asks you, tell me who Jesus is, we would be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ based on His own teaching and explanation to tell others that He is gentle and He is lowly. You see, Jesus' heart is of gentle embrace, and it never is outmatched by our sins or our insecurities or our doubts or our anxieties or our failures. This is not just an occasional characteristic of Jesus. This is who He is. Gentleness is who the Savior is. It is His heart. He can't ungentle Himself toward His own any more than you and I can change our skin color. It is who we are, or our eye color. It is what we are. When we come to Christ for mercy, for love, for help and grace in our pain and confusion and sinfulness, we are going with the flow of Jesus' own deepest wishes, not against them. Dear friend, if you're needing mercy, if you feel like you need love, if you need help, if you need grace, in whatever pain it may be you're walking through, in whatever confusion it may be you're battling, or whatever sinfulness it is you're dealing with, you are not going with the flow to run away from Him. That is basically what the Bible says is unnatural. What Jesus desires is for you to come to Him, not go away from Him. Thomas Goodwin, one of the Puritans, he wrote a book called The Heart of Jesus. He argued that Jesus surprises us by exercising acts of grace and from His continual doing good unto and for His people, from His filling them up with all mercy, grace, comfort, and felicity, Himself becoming yet more full by filling them. Well, what does that mean? Dear friend, I want you to hear this and hear it now. When we hold back, you could say, lurking in the shadows, so to speak. When we hold ourselves back, fear lurking in the shadows, so to speak, because we're fearful, because we're sinful, because we failed. When we're lurking, so to speak, in the back, we are missing out not only in increasing our comfort, but also bringing comfort and joy to Christ. He lives to give to you comfort and peace and rest. It is who He is. This is what He loves to do. And as Thomas Goodwin has argued, dear friend, it is a surprise to us, much so, that the reality of Jesus and who He is that not only does it increase our comfort, but it increases His joy when He can distribute to us comfort and grace and mercy. Would you come to the Savior today? Would you come to the One who eagerly waits to disperse and dispatch His grace
and mercy on you. Oh, dear friend, if you're a Christian, many of us need to be reminded of this truth as well. And if you're lost, many of us need to be instructed in regards to this truth. You see, what Jesus longs for is the end of verse 28. I will give you rest. Rest. I will give you rest. Rest for what? Well, that's the question. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for what? Your souls. It says you will find rest for your souls. It did not say you would find rest for your bodies. Well, what do we need to understand here? We need to understand that our lives will inevitably be filled with troubles and trials. However, we are sustained by the never-ending kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is gentle and He is lowly. Notice what He says here. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Verse 30. Jesus is not saying life will be free of pain or free of hardship. See, what a yoke is that big old heavy cross bar that they would have laid on an oxen to keep him dragging farm equipment throughout the field. And so what Jesus is saying here is that He is telling you to come to Him so that you can take His yoke, which is easy. And this, if you understand the way this is in the original language, He's basically saying, come to me so that I can put on you a non-yoke. Why would I come to Jesus? Well, this is why you need to come. Because He said, if you take His yoke, it is easy and His burden is light. So what He is saying is that if you will come to Him, the yoke that will be placed on your shoulders is no longer a heavy burden. It no longer makes you heavy laden, but it is a yoke of kindness, a yoke of mercy, a yoke of grace, a yoke of comfort, which is actually not a yoke at all. You see, Thomas Goodwin, he argued also saying, we are out to think that Jesus, being so holy, so lofty, is therefore of a severe and sour disposition against sinners, and are not able to bear them. No, he says, I am meek. Gentleness is my nature and my temper. You see, we tend to look at Jesus a lot in our lives and look at Him as one who is so lofty and high that He Himself would exhibit or show character like those who are lofted up in our world today. Those who tend to be well beyond, you could say, the average person, tend to look down their nose, so to speak, at those who may not be in categories such as they. And we tend to, or are prone to, think of Jesus a lot of the time as the same way. Since He is holy God and as high as anyone can be, many of us tend to walk around or lurk around in the shadows thinking that He too looks down on us in the same way that some high, lofty person in our world would look down on another. But that's what Satan would have us to think. You see, we're talking about the one who is no doubt highly exalted. We're talking about the one whose eyes, the Bible said, is like a flame of fire. We're talking about the one whose voice is like the sound of many waters. We're talking about the one who's out of his mouth comes a sharp, two-edged sword. We're talking about the one whose face is like the sun shining full strength. And Thomas Goodwin says, this Jesus, who is so high and holy, does not cringe as he's reaching out even to the dirtiest of sinners, nor those who are suffering. Embracing sinners and comforting the brokenhearted is what Jesus loves to do. He cannot hold back from embracing those who are weary and heavy laden. You know, you think about that child. I think I posted the quote on Facebook this week. But the writer, the book was given an illustration, and I liked it. I wanted to use it. He said it's kind of like a young child who's reaching out his first time to touch a slug or maybe an earthworm or something like that. You know, you can only imagine the face they're making, cringing as they're reaching out, not really wanting to do it. And the Bible, and Goodwin argued, Thomas Goodwin, the Puritan, argued that many of us think in our minds that that's the way Jesus and our relationship is, that He often cringes to reach out and have to deal with us. But that's not the way the Bible describes Jesus' heart. That's not the way Jesus described His heart. Jesus is saying that He does not cringe to reach out to you. It is not a burden for Him to reach out to you. If anything, it increases His joy that you have come to Him to find comfort and hope and peace and rest and grace, and He eagerly waits to distribute it to you. Would you come? Would you come? You see, this is not Jesus to reach out with a cringe. To reach out with His face all cringed up as though He don't want to. You see, the Bible tells you and me that we have a Savior who revealed His heart of that of a gentle and lowly one, who eagerly, willingly is reaching out for you. Would you take Him by the hand today? Would you reach out to Him today? Because I assure you, He's reaching out to you. Whether you're a Christian who's walking through a low valley, or whether you're a sinner who needs saving, the heart of Jesus is gentle and lovely. And it increases His joy when we come to Him. You may be watching this today and have a burden that's weighing you down that you feel like you cannot come to God with. I want you to know that there is no sin that can outmeasure His kindness, His grace, and His mercy. He's reaching. He's reaching out to you. This is who Jesus is. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, would you bless the message to your honor and your glory? Pray you bless those who've watched or listened. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, reminding us of the truth of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your Son and what He's done and who He is today. It's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.